Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning. My goodness, there's too many things on my plate today, Lance. Where do we even begin? Let's see. Autumnal equinox. Ripening incredible, beautiful, lovely, delicious lemons. The list is long. And guess what? The Bottle Tree Garden Tour is also on my mind, in addition to the Pearl River County Fair and, of course, upcoming Wells Fest. All of you, though, are the point of me being here. I get up every Saturday morning and can't wait to hear from you. Texting, calling, sending us just such great photos and fun ideas and thoughts and things and quite a few garden questions. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Today, let's see now. I really love this. Hepticodium, that's Seven Suns tree. Thank you so much. This started the morning off beautifully. Bird bath, red maple tree seedling, and this beautiful tree in bloom, all coming to us today from Mark in Pascagoula. You can see the images at supertalk.tv, but it is one of the plants that you don't expect to bloom necessarily at the first year, but it has. So that's really delightful, and I'm glad to see it. Thank you for letting me see that this morning. Trey, of course, in Grenada, and I don't ever take you for granted. I just have to say that Trey's sense of humor is getting way over the top. I don't even know what to say about some of this stuff.
I hadn't been able to get to it yet.
Oh, so that's okay. I'm going to leave it for you yeah. Because I do think it is more in your palate than mine. However, I do like the sentiment of leaving room in the garden for the angels to dance, and they are dancing. I have to tell you, yesterday afternoon, the butterflies were busy, busy, busy. The lizards have hatched again because there's little bitty ones all over the place. And if you are not having enough lizards, enough butterflies, plenty of... I had a ladybug in my hair yesterday and couldn't figure out what was going on until I finally... She fell out into my hand and I went, oh, that's what that was. If you're not having that number of natural critters, you probably need to listen to this show a little more closely. That's because I'm all about sustainable gardening, sustainable horticulture. Using products that are naturally sourced is my key. I'm not saying that we're not going to intervene. We are gardeners. If we were naturalists, we would just look at how everything looks and observe it and be interested or not. But as gardeners, we do want to manipulate, control, sometimes even force things to do stuff that we want it to do. That's why we grow plants in hanging baskets when they're actually native to the side of a rock wall. That's why, you know, that's why we do what we do. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to wait until we get Mike's pictures going for you.
Give me just a second here.
Yeah, that's okay. No, I'm just going to say, I wanted to tell people that this Morning Glory collection is just getting crazy. I have Morning Glory vines going, but oh my goodness, they're not going to ever get close to this collection that he has managed to do. I love that. They're big old flowers growing in, but this is the 5-gallon bucket way of doing things. So we're going to talk to Mike in just a few minutes. Also, in the next hour, we will be talking to a very special guest, one of the other stalwart folks in the Fondren neighborhood where I live, who's going to be part of the Bottle Tree Garden Tour. If you follow me on any of the social medias, I believe you will have seen some of that today. It's going to be lots of fun. There are FondrenGardenTour.com. Tickets are on sale, information about it, and all of that. So we'll talk a lot more about that in the next hour today. I really love this idea Kathy is planting carrot seeds in those grow bags. You know, they're the fabric bags that are, they're folded over until you fill them up with soil or growing mix or bark or something, whatever you're growing stuff in. Isn't that a pretty, pretty morning glory? Anyway, one-third decomposing leaves, one-third fine pine bark, and one-third organic mix be sufficient. Yes, it will. The only thing you're going to want to do is when you fill it up, you're going to want to water it once before you put the carrot seeds in to be sure that it settles. And you may have to add a little bit more soil to that first mix, but those proportions are excellent. I've used grow bags a few times, and I really like them. I have to tell you, though, that carrots are a particularly good choice because they are much less likely to root into the ground through the grow bag than the bell peppers that I grew in one of those grow bags. So it is something to think about. Mike, let's talk about your morning glories. Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. It's Saturday morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning, Nellie. I tell you what, I have every morning about 7:30 to 8 o'clock, I go out there at the camera and do my thing.
This is
those
great.
Flowers are gigantic.
They're beautiful. It looks like, you know, all the months of a calendar, you know what I mean? January, February, March, because you've got enough morning glories to do justice to that entire group of plants. It's really delightful. Now, people are going to want to know, because it's in a 5-gallon bucket, what did you fertilize them with?
Nothing.
Except your
soil?
Absolutely
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I take that back. I did, whenever they had the drought we had around here, I did put me a clump of Miracle-Gro and just put it in there and let the rain dissolve it.
Well, there you go. You did give them a little bit of balanced fertilizer. And I think that's probably why they have done so well, just because they're vigorous and their leaves are good, but the flowers are particularly lovely. And it's beautiful. Thank you for letting us see them.
The reason why they do so well, because I'm fantastic.
I was listening to a song this week, and one of the lyrics is, I'm amazing, and you are too. So thank you, Mike. Good to talk to you today. Appreciate that. That's so much fun. Yeah, you know, I've been stuck in Keb Mo for a couple of weeks now. Keep sending people links to songs.
Well, I mean, I'm blown away because November the 2nd, we have a reunion of the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Man.
It's in Cleveland, y'all. Come on, let's go.
I really want to be here for that.
It's the Day of the Dead in the Delta.
Golly.
I love that.
I love those guys, too. Nothing like them.
No, they're definitely...
Whole genre.
They are a cultivated taste, definitely, and that once you do, you want some more, you know.
Well,
it's perfect for
Halloween.
So much going on.
Yeah,
perfect Day of the Dead stuff. So it's great. Appreciate them putting that word out so we could talk nice about them. Come on, you know, everybody wants to. If you've never heard their music, search it up. If you don't know how to do that, figure out YouTube. you do want this. You want some of this.
Yeah, it's not traditional. You know, you're talking about big band music.
It is not traditional.
You know, just some amazing songs, though, that are in that genre. I mean, jazz, big band. I don't even know how, gypsy blues or something. I'm not quite sure how describe it.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, but there, it's something. I'm trying to, the ghost of what's his name? God, what's it? I have that off the top tip of my tongue.
Oh, the ghost. Don't put me on that spot.
No,
I've only had one
it.
Cup of coffee today.
Ghost of Stephen Foster.
No, I know. I'm there. I just can't get to the end of this conversation.
And their videos. I mean, back when videos.
So much fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're quality. I mean, it is a cartoon or a storyline.
It's not just a band standing on stage, which is often wonderful. Yeah, I'm not putting that down.
They do it
but
different.
But they do it differently. If you're going to be named the Squirrel Nut Zippers, for heaven's sakes, you got to be different.
Right, and they named it after a candy bar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimbo Math is one of the funnest people on the planet. Immensely talented. And to come up in that world,
mm-hmm,
and this, you know, mm-hmm, the music he's created after that, it speaks volumes to that experience, I think.
Well, and hats off to Cleveland, you know, Mississippi, for knowing what's great,
exactly,
as they always do.
Wow.
Love Cleveland.
Y'all gotta see them, guys. I mean, you're gonna be, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, this is the truth.
It may not be exactly your style of music,
but you will have had an experience that is worth having.
Something
you absolutely
completely
will.
Unique.
There are There are towns in Mississippi where my family comes from, and Cleveland is one of them. And I have never had a bad time in Cleveland. Say hello to my cousins.
They used to have that, you know, a beer barn where you would drive through it and you could get your beer in a milk jug. You know, like a...
Oh, now, do you want to go down history? Do you realize that you once could send your gallon, your crock jug to Canton, and they would fill it up and send it back to you on the train? Do you understand that? That's how liquor was distributed in legal liquor was distributed that way in Mississippi. And in fact, a friend of mine, well, one of our friends here, in fact, has a couple of the jugs, and they're embossed with the name of the company that was there. And that's another friend of mine. See, my Mississippi roots are deep, even though I've only been here 30 years. When I first arrived, people said, "Where are you from? You're not from around here." No, spent all my summers here. Know lots of people, you know, da da da. And the answer was, well, after 20 years, we can talk. It's been longer than that now. I'm happy to say. Oh, my goodness. When do I cut back lantana for winter? I've always cut it back in early spring. Well, yeah, you can, but you can also, yes, cut it back now for a bloom, particularly because you're in Brandon. We're likely to have several more weeks of good weather. I cut mine down because they had so many bugs in them, and I've noticed that now in another spot of that planting, a really very, very healthy one has come up, and I'm trying to encourage it because the others were pretty well racked by insects this summer. So I'm happy to say, yes, it's a fine time to cut back lantana. Oh, my goodness. Look at those deer. Thank you, Trey. Those are that fawn is just beautiful. Oh, hello, Mama. Oh, my goodness. Ain't nature grand? Think of all the people that never get to see a fawn. We're so lucky. Let's see. Yes, that is a mix. Yes, that's right. Not layered with leaves on the bottom. I would mix the whole thing together. Yes, Kathy, I would, for the carrots, because we don't want them to have to go through good mix on top and then hit the leaves, because that's what will make the whole thing sink an awful lot. Okay, so that's, yes, you are right. That is what I was trying to say. Are you a fussy eater, my friends? Oh, my goodness. Do you know that is a genetic thing? I don't know how to tell you this. Doesn't happen just like anything. A blue-eyed child doesn't necessarily have two blue-eyed parents, but what they have done is to trace that habit. It usually begins in really babyhood and kind of gives up around adolescence when making more choices is a more logical part of people's lives. But also, frankly, as your tastes develop, you may get over being such a fussy eater. But some people never do. And in fact, it's genetic. And in fact, if your grandma was a fussy eater and you are too, I'm not saying blame grandma, but I'm saying work hard to teach your grandchildren to be a little bit more omnivorous. Maybe not to eat every single thing, but to at least not be labeled as fussy or picky or any of that beyond babyhood. Yes, I realize there are babies, you know, little girls at 3 years old that don't eat anything but yogurt. Who do you think I'm talking about? But on the other hand, Not forever, not your whole life. It's really funny. University College of London actually studied this. What they found out was by working with the parents with identical or fraternal twins in England and Wales all the way from 16 months old to 13 years. And what they found out is that it is really mostly a stable trait that is inherited. I think that's fascinating. I would not have thought that. I would have thought that was just something that, you know, some kid develops, you develop as a child and hopefully grow out of. But I think we can help that work. Raising Clinton this morning. Hey, y'all. He's ready to transplant a sweet olive and some monkey grass. Oh, yeah, great. Looking forward to seeing you at the Bottle Tree Tour also. Thank you very much. You know, this is ordinarily a time that I would say wait a little while to do that planting or that digging up and replanting or transplanting. I just did all of that this week. And if you will give yourself the opportunity to dress them really well with some mulch around it, you know, get everything, get the soil, if as long as the soil is good and you're doing, taking a little bit of extra effort and doing like I am and watering twice a day for this first week, I don't have any problem with going ahead and doing some of that. Now, my yard is not as full sun as parts of Ray and Sandy's is. So if it's a really full sun that you're going to move it to, if you're moving it from full sun to a little bit less, that would be even better. But if you're moving it to full sun, you still might want to wait a minute, maybe just a couple of weeks. Good question, though. When do we do all of this? Does depend really on the circumstances. And in my case, it had to get done now. But when you come to the Bottle Tree Garden Tour, you'll see things in my garden that you didn't see before. It's still not fancy, still a plant collection. You'll still see beautiful design in other places. But I'm happy to say that, yes, I have transplanted plants this week, and they're not dead, so, including digging some up. So, you know, I didn't do the digging. That didn't happen. I had help. I am so surprised we are finally to the autumnal equinox. That's happening tomorrow. And what that basically means is that our timing, you know, we pretty soon we approach the changing of time again. But as we are looking at this, what we're looking at is the changing back into the other part of the year. We have, this is when the poinsettias, for example, begin to think that they're actually supposed to start setting. That's why we have to darken them earlier on if we want them to be developing red bracts by November. This is when they'll start in nature, because the time frame, the hours of daylight are less, the hours of darkness are more. As we move in towards getting up towards the end of the year, of course, in the darkest points, we get a lot more opportunity for those things like poinsettias. But right now, it's time to fertilize your Christmas cactus. I hope yours are still outside, because we would much rather have them be outside than trying to survive indoors in that environment. But you do need to fertilize them. And if yours are like mine, whew, they're really crammed in. And that's a very good thing, actually, because we want them to be a little bit tight in their pots. That gives them a more incentive to bloom. If these bloom, they're going to be spectacular, because they are twice as big as the containers they're in. We're going to see how this works. Been so good for 4 or 5 years now. I think we'll get one more out of them. I've just been fascinated this week. I've learned about scuba diving lizards and all sorts of stuff I'm going to tell you about, and take your phone calls. Of course, always your questions on the text line and some of the funniest memes you'll ever see. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7960.
That's BABBEL.com.
Listen to my bluebird laugh. She can't tell you why. Deep within her heart, you see, she knows all I cry. Just lying. Yeah. There she sits, a lofty perch. Strangest color blue, flying is forgotten now. Thinks only of you.
So hard not to sing along out loud. I have to be careful. Stephen Stills does not need me.
You don't have to be
but
careful.
It's a great
you just
lyric.
Got you
it's
just got to sing.
I have to sing better.
Got to sing. That's
all. Well, you know that. The best news is that there is new research that I do not have to cite, but I was listening to it this week. We all understand, I think, when you find your groove, when you find the music that you like, when you find the music that strikes a note in you, literally, you feel better. And now we are understanding, and they are able to measure the amount of dopamine that your body releases. So, in fact, listening to music is indeed as therapeutic as we all thought it was. I have a friend who's long gone now, who was one of the first person I knew who actually had a therapy major in music. And since I was one of the first people in my group to pursue the horticulture therapy part, he and I had a lot of conversations about how much everybody thought we were crazy. That one day there would be things that would prove what we were right. And indeed there are. So to his precious daughter that I love as much as I love my own, I know she's happy too, because we finally got that absolute, you know, proof, quote unquote, in the scientific method, where you test something and then you report on it and you test something again and other people come and test it. And if they get the same results, it turns out your theory is proven. And so in this case, it is. That's really cool. And indeed, singing along is part of it. I did look up the other day. I was doing something and I'm sure I was dancing in my back garden and there were people next door staring at me. I waved. I think they're kind of amazed, you know. So I encourage you all to sing and dance in your garden. It's good for you.
Good for the garden, too.
It's very good for the garden. You get more done.
Yeah.
Listen now. Today is International Eat an Apple Day. Now, I'm not going to say this is because apples are harvested in the fall and, you know, they're all trying to get you to eat their apples. But it does bring up, what's your favorite apple? That kind of, I have to say, I'm kind of stuck myself. I've got a couple of different favorite things, but I really do like Arkansas black apples, and I know they're not popular. They're so tiny, the tiny world, you know, that they're in. Is they're not that hardy as a plant. Well, they are hardy as a plant, but they're not that transportable, I think.
I brought two bananas today, so I missed the email.
We can have banana.
I like a good old Macintosh apple.
Oh, that's good.
I've got a lot of Macintoshes in my family, so you kind of have to be partial to the people. An apple, just grab one and eat it. The one that's tough, though, are the ones that, you know, to me, are way too bitter or tart. The ones you put in the apple pies.
Oh, Granny Smith
and stuff. See, I can eat them. But, man, it's like eating a sour head or something. They're so...
It's like fennel.
Yeah. You know? It's okay for
a moment. But I actually like Granny Smith's, but I like them with, you know, you eat them as a snack, like slices of that with grapes and slices of cheese and stuff.
Or some peanut butter or something.
Maybe
or cheese is good with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something my dad... When I was a kid, he would take, I remember getting apple pie, and he would take it and put a slice of cheddar cheese on it.
A lot of people did.
And, you know, that was like a very country or way to do
it.
Very popular. And, and I would do that around friends, and they thought I was crazy. Like, what are you doing putting a piece of cheese on your apple pie? I was like, y'all don't do this?
For y'all who are thinking this is odd, you're probably the same people who put ranch dressing on spaghetti, okay? It's just a choice. It's not anything you have to be judgmental about. It's unusual, but not unheard of. How about that?
Do you put ranch on spaghetti?
Not me.
I've not heard of that.
I tried to keep the ranch off of the table, though, and my children informed me that I was way behind the times because they put it on everything.
Ranch.
They dip pizza in it. Come on.
Pizza's great for ranch. I think that was almost what it was invented.
I think the next thing is the spaghetti business. But anyway, so if you think we're... Oh, good. Now, finally, somebody has jumped in with my favorite one, Honeycrisp. That's true.
I like
Honeycrisp,
too.
Great
apple. Those are great apples.
Great apple. And indeed, Honeycrisp has a bunch of descendants. Once they figured out Honeycrisp, they started Washington State, particularly Washington State University, began a whole program of basically Honeycrisp and the babies that can be bred from that. I have to tell you that if you want to get the most unusual, you're going to have to get into the Kissabelles and the Kissabelle-Jean, which is the French apples. These have red insides. Some of them have red outsides, but they have reddish insides. Wow. And pinkish insides.
Mm. That's French, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The whole business of low chill hours, though, is what we are looking for here when we begin to plant them. And Anna is one, Gala is one, Dorset Golden. There's a whole list of about 10. But you do have to remember, you need pollen. It's like everything else that we talk about. You got to have a pollinator. And in some cases, you get a few fruit, but most of the time it'll form fruit and fall off if they're not pollinated. So that's another piece you need to know about.
What was I going to say about an apple? Oh, yeah. You know, with George Washington, obviously they were apple growers.
That's what we are told.
That's what we're told.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they, like, ate a lot of apples? Or do you, I mean, of that era? I mean, I don't. It was apple pie. What was it, cider you were growing them for back then?
I was going to say, I imagine it was for juice or cider or something, but I don't know that.
Right.
I don't know the answer.
I'm just curious about the actual invention of the real American apple pie versus apple cider to keep everybody
warm. And somebody along the way said, you know, so someone the other day just said, what's the difference between apple pie and apple crisp? And the answer was oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
You know? So, her mother makes great apple crisps. And so that's one of those things that you... You grow up on one of them. You might grow up on apple brown Betty, or you might grow up on apple pie, or you might grow up on a crisp.
And apple brown Betty is more of a Texas, South, I wouldn't say Southwest, but it is.
I think it's an era.
Okay.
I really
more
do.
More of an era than a locale.
Yeah,
okay.
I think.
Makes
I don't.
Sense.
Somebody's going to tell me all that I'm wrong, but anyway.
Well, I'm wrong every day.
Ooh, Cheryl's
if you're
got.
Getting away with one, you're good.
Cheryl, and well, I try not to keep too close a track. Cheryl in Vestavia, magnificent morning glories. We're on a thing here today.
Yes.
Just beautiful,
wow,
beautiful, beautiful.
Mine are purple right now. The little
they
purple
nice.
Ones like that down
yeah,
there.
Those are pretty. That's beautiful. Just gorgeous.
And this will be the last one, last batch that we'll see? Is that how that'll work?
I hope not. I hope there'll be one more because I have some vines that haven't bloomed yet.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know.
How many, I mean, what are the variations of morning glories? I mean, are they unlimited?
Well,
more
oh, goodness, you have wandered into one of my favorite topics.
Yeah.
That is probably I can put people to sleep with this one. The family Ipomea, I-P-O, anyway, Ipomea, M-E-A-A, M-E-A.
The girl from Ipanema?
Close to that.
Okay.
I wanted to say it's not Ipanema, but we're getting close. But the Ipomea, M-E-A, family is magnificent. It's morning glories, but it's also beautiful things like Love Lies Bleed. I mean, there's all kind of gorgeous other vines in that family, and there are a few things that are kind of shrubby. But for the most part, we divide the morning glories into the ones that we like and the ones that will grow around your ankles and choke you as you walk down your path. And sometimes they cross and make these fantastic, magnificent big morning glories that then the breeders save seeds from. So morning glories themselves are generally more like the little small purple ones that you're seeing, or sometimes they're red, but it's a small trumpet-shaped flower. Beautiful heart-shaped leaf, but very small and very discreet. And it will grow. Unfortunately, we have some that are known as tie vines because they will literally wrap themselves around you and your other plants and tear things up. That's not the ones we grow to cultivate for the flowers.
Doesn't that look like a light shade?
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really does.
It
looks like there's an LED in the center of that flower.
Somebody should make candles look like that.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
The next one. It almost looks like it has a wick in it.
It's so pretty. Such gorgeous.
The blue and here, it's like got a little wick.
Beautiful.
You want to light that.
Mm-hmm. You
it's
do.
It's just so pretty.
Watch it glow.
Yeah.
Just
so I come
beautiful.
Up with that. Y'all come up with a mold of every color morning glory so we can make candles out of them. And
wouldn't that be fun?
They're beautiful. I mean,
it's
that looks
a
like a
thing.
Candle.
We can. It does. Yeah. David in West Point says he knows a guy who puts peanut butter on spaghetti. So at least that's, I mean, I'm telling you, we all have our tastes.
Yeah.
And we all make certain decisions about what we're going to eat. And strangely enough, we like some of them when we finally go around and try them. I don't usually
who
like...
Who invented peanut butter? We've covered this.
First person with a lot of peanuts.
Yeah, it wasn't who you think, though.
No.
It wasn't George Washington Carver.
Well, he didn't invent it.
Well, I mean, peanut butter, you know, all the different.
Right, right.
Marcellus Gilmore Edson of Canada, 1884, actually patented peanut butter.
I don't doubt that. That's because in Canada, you need to find something else to eat. especially at that time.
Moose and peanut butter.
Let's face it, you know, there's not enough elk. Peanut butter, yeah. You've got to grow something. And they did, I know they did that. I know that they grew, grow peanuts there. But anyway.
Well, we obviously have an industry of peanuts here.
Oh, yeah, we grow the best peanuts in the world in Mississippi.
What is it about? Is it more soil? Is it temperature? Is it a combination? What makes the peanut, like, because, you know, Georgia has such a notorious mm-hmm. reputation mm-hmm. for peanut, but Mississippi has mm-hmm. a great, you know, peanut industry. So what mm-hmm. is the, how does that work? What is the difference?
Oh, I think it has to do with both the soil and also the power of the market. When people are eating more peanuts or more peanut butter, or when we have, you know, I don't know, Reese's Pieces or any of those things, when those things got popular, everybody tried to grow them. We just have more facility for it here than most any place. Georgia, yeah. They've always done that. Hello, Jimmy Carter. Happy birthday. And I can't wait to see that concert. My goodness. For his 100th birthday, it'll be a good one. But the interesting part for me is that we actually still manage to find a way to press those peanuts into something else, you know, whether we're going to boil them or bake them or roast them or whatever it is, then we're going to take them and turn them into a peanut butter because people love that taste. They really appreciate the protein source in it, too. So I think that's all real good. To the point, I don't know how to – I turned on my television this morning to check the weather. Yes, I did. I didn't turn on my phone. I turned on the television. I was just in the mood. And guess what's coming out for Christmas? It's going to be in your stocking, so just be prepared. Peanut butter and jelly M&Ms.
Yeehaw.
So just hold on.
Got to give that a
just
try.
Just hold on. You know everybody wants that.
Got to give that a try. Goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Rod wants to know the different fruit tree types that grow best in southwest Mississippi. He says there are five of them. I think this is a test.
Okay, yeah, this is trivia time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say stone fruit and figs and blueberry will form a tree, so I'm going to go with that. But then, I mean, apples, then you can, and I don't know. I mean, see, to me, I'm going to go pecans and blackberries and all the other fruits. But in terms of fruit trees, I don't know if I know five different ones, so you should send the answer back, Rod. I only got three of them.
Meaning native.
I don't know.
Okay.
Right. When it's five different.
Grow,
see, I've been to school too much. When I see five different, when somebody asks me five different, I figure there has to be five distinct different classes.
Gotcha.
Like
yeah.
the fig is
like
different
the kingdom
from the stone
phylum
fruit.
Class, or we got to get to
yeah,
the layer
the
there.
The fig is different from the stone fruits, is different from apples, is different from. Anyway. So. And he wants to plant them. Well, I don't know why there's five. But in southwest Mississippi, you can certainly grow.
Yeah, you're getting down into the hotbed.
You can, and you can certainly grow papayas if you're willing to do the protection that they need. You can also come in with guavas if you're willing to do a little bit of just the early part of their life. But in southwest Mississippi, both of those things are real. Olive trees are real in that part. So if you want to plant, it just depends on really what you want to grow and what you want to eat. But yes to the apples, yes to plums, yes to figs, yes to quince. Okay. I'm up to seven now, but those are not distinct.
Satsuma's one, right?
Distinct. Well, and I was going to go into the citrus, but that's a whole other world in and of itself.
That's not me coming up with that. That mm-hmm. was one of our listeners. But we did have a Satsuma Day or something this week I celebrated. So we had a little conversation about Satsuma. I think it was Monday Tuesday.
Good.
So, yeah, we talked about Satsumas a little bit. And Paul's like, well, I think we're going to have to talk to the host on Saturday about that one. I think he's right.
Well, yeah.
What is the difference in a Satsuma? Can we hit up on that a little bit?
Sure,
because
always.
Obviously it's in that orange mandarin.
It's in the citrus bunch. It's a type
category.
Of mandarin, yeah. And mandarin is a type of orange that has that the peel is thin and the segments come apart easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a navel orange where you basically have to get in there, you know, to get the segments
around.
So, but Satsuma is one of those. Caracara oranges are a bitter orange. Blood orange is a really sharp tasting orange.
Yeah, now blood orange
I love
is very
those.
You know full bodied.
Very very yeah. yes.
And yeah, the you make some good cocktails
me,
with those.
And
things,
tell me
yeah.
the zest. Woo wee. You know it's a bite. It's a good one though. But anyway, yeah, we can talk some more about citrus. You know I'm crazy about that. Thanks to JJ Kale, you also get to know now that I am in fact Crazy Mama, and this is the Garden Mama Show.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. A lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they're not online. With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there's
25 cents per gallon bonus.
What's different about us? I don't really know. No matter how I try, I just can't make a cry.
Folks may not know why we're doing this. Never, ever, ever, never break.
This heart of stone.
What a gathering. My goodness, that's fun. Thank you all very much for being here with me today and for hanging out with Lance and I on Saturdays. We really do have a good time. We're glad that you do too. Y'all are so good about saying, that didn't make any sense, or I really like that, or thank you for helping me with that, or y'all are really good. And that's straightforward conversation to me is the difference between this and a lot of other things in this world. Let's see what Joe's doing. I got too many mice in here today. They don't all want to work. They want to cross themselves up. Joe says, is it too late to cut back leggy double knockout roses, and how far can I cut them? No need to preventatively spray them for bugs. That's correct. But if you want to cut them back and they're real leggy, I don't have any problem with that at this moment if you hurry up. He's in Madison in central Mississippi. You have at least 6 weeks before it's going to be very cold. That's plenty of time for that rose to go ahead and bloom out again, or at the very least to strengthen itself, you know, get rid of what the problem has been in terms of that legginess. So I don't have any trouble doing that. I did cut back couple of the roses because they were in my way as I was transplanting things, which I was doing out of time. When you come to the Bottle Tree Garden Tour, you'll get to see whether or not it worked. We'll know in a few weeks if it worked or not. I got to tell you, there's some other stuff that's going on this particular week. Good question about satsumas and about the problem with Brown Select being that it comes back. You end up with the rootstock when the top freezes. That is true of any of them. But there is a variety that is supposed to be at least 5 degrees hardier, and that's one called Arctic Frost. I can't imagine I'm even saying that. But it's from Texas A&M. And it can withstand those temperature drops, not for 4 or 5 days at a time, but the dips. It can take the dips all the way down to single digits, but only single, you know, like 9. It can't go much lower than that. And of course, just like I grow my lemon in a big container, you can also grow this particular satsuma in a big container if you want to protect it that way. No problems with that. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I don't know if this is an interesting one. I'm going to agree with Trey again. I did mention Larry Stevenson, but he said he is, in fact, the best when it comes to these fruit varieties. That is very true. I trust I say his name often enough. But one of the things that he will tell you is that you should plant, but be prepared to take care of your plants really well for a few years. No matter, even the hardiest fig is going to need some attention, just not too very long. All right? All right. Oh, my goodness. this is such a great, great opportunity. There are too many things going on this fall for you to miss a minute. Everybody has the chance now. We're looking at the end of September. I just saw the first pansies rolling into the garden center this week. So it's time to think about that. The mums, of course, are in full tilt, magnificent condition. And I do hope that you are at least putting a couple of them around for bright color. Some people, you know, fill the entire front bed with nothing but the colors of their school. We'll get some maroons, we'll get some bright reds, a few purple and golds here and there.
If you say so.
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of the fact that you're, you know, you're a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
You're open about your tigerness.
Mm-hmm.
I play a little ball up here at Ole Miss. I'm a little partial,
more than a little.
But it's so you know. Again, it's like anything. You gotta respect everybody's space. You know, and I've always loved LSU. Honestly, you know, growing up, what a great rivalry between Ole Miss and State to watch. You know, the colors. How vibrant is purple and gold and red and blue?
I mean, it's a beautiful field.
That was the thing to me. Like, I mean, I don't know about any of y'all, but if you can't watch LSU in the purple and gold and Ole Miss in the red and blue.
Beautiful.
And the gray, it's for the senses. You don't have to watch football.
Yeah, you don't really have to care about the football.
Yeah,
the whole environment.
That's what got me.
Some of us care more than others about the football.
Oh, I love the football, but man,
exactly.
The colors and everything, the environment just got me out of the gate, you know.
And that's the way we develop. You know, we always want things to catch our eye, to catch our attention. And fortunately, that's one of the things. Those color combinations can certainly do that.
Yeah, and so that was kind of where I'm going with this. Now that we're in full force, this is football season.
Yeah,
I know you guys have got the front of your house decored,
you know it,
perfectly with your maroon and white flowers, or your purple and gold, or your red and blue. Show us. I'd love to see
love
what you're doing.
See all of that.
Or if you're in the Grove today, or you're in Starkville, and you've got the nice centerpiece.
Come on, send us a picture.
Send us some stuff, guys. I know you're listening in, and we want to see it.
We love that.
I know there's a chandelier hanging down somewhere in a tent.
That's right. We always appreciate things vicariously when we're
amazing,
here and you're there. Yeah. So let us see. Let us see. Sometimes when you walk upon the tailgating world, I love the tailgating world. You know, let's face it, you can't decide what to eat first.
And everybody invites you.
So
you've got such great centerpieces,
beautiful.
You got all this layout, and then you got this, you know, smorgasbord of food. And my favorite is once the weather drops. Is the different versions of whatever stew/gumbo.
Gumbos.
Yeah, whatever
jambalaya.
They've got. You know, the jambalayas and gumbos steaming.
Yeah.
And the big pot over there, you know, they're working it. And they're like, hey, do you want some? You didn't even have to ask.
No,
I'll just hand me a bowl.
Yeah. Come over, make a good conversation, and let's go. Let's have some food.
The colors and the smells. That's what it's all about this time of year.
That's what your garden is supposed to
exactly.
do for you.
Yeah.
Why do you think people put outdoor kitchens in their garden? Why do you think they put fire pits in their garden? Because we want places to gather. Even my plant collection has chairs where you can sit and appreciate looking at some of the other plants. And people who are more design conscious, you can see I'm getting nervous because our guest in the next hour is really a designer. I mean, this is the real deal. But there are lots of opportunities for everybody to appreciate your own space when you garden. And I think that's part of the fun of it. There are always the colors alone are fun, but the colors alone don't make it all itself. I want to say a happy word for a moment about Nandina shrubs and Eleagnus shrubs and things that are just basically green. Yeah, I know we have some color on them. It's not solid green. It's not the same shade of green. But if we don't have those defining features in the garden, it's really not as good a place. You can't just have, you know, like the lonely little petunia in the onion patch. You got that one flower out there. Well, that's nice, but let's do a little more. Let's give her some backup. You know, let's make a little bit more happen.
You need an ensemble. The orchestra has to be around it.
You absolutely have to have the orchestra.
And you have a conductor, but now we need the orchestra.
And I will tell you, I'm going to have a surprise for myself because I have only grown pentas a couple of times, and it was always sort of an addition to something else, and I decided this year to focus on them in one of my bigger containers, and it is a butterfly magnet. I have to tell you, it's just one of the best things in the world. Oh, my goodness. No, this is, you didn't, this is all great. Y'all, God, these are the great things. Fertilizing them, wait until the plants dry out and go, I would go, if the plants are wet right now, I would go ahead and fertilize them with full strength fertilizer as long as the soil is still wet. We're talking about Christmas cactus, but that's really true of most anything else.
I got those to load up after we have our guests, mm-hmm, so we can, mm-hmm, we can talk about the Christmas cactus again.
We'll do that again, all right? Now, look, y'all, we're going to go have some coffee with the Balfour Brothers and do a little two-step around the studio. Stick around. We got another hour to go. You come back.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Wowie zowie. What a morning. Did somebody turn the volume up on time today? It's going faster and more of it.
It's on extra super
I'm
fast
telling
today.
You, y'all have got some great texts rolling in here. I appreciate it. The ones that I can talk about and the ones that I can't, they're great too.
Hey, I'm going to, just to give you a heads up,
yes,
because I don't want to surprise you, but on the going out on this one, I'm going to try to DJ the Ghost of Stephen Foster just from some Squirrel Nut Zipper love.
Yay.
I don't have it. I don't have it mastered.
Yay.
So I will DJ it. For
okay,
us
y'all, hold
today.
On.
So,
this is the real voice. Y'all are going to get to hear. Watch out now.
Just a warning.
This will be fun. The reason if you have just tuned in, the reason that we're kind of tied up in the Squirrel Nut Zippers is because there will be a Day of the Dead concert event, gigantic party in Cleveland. The beautiful, magnificent town of Cleveland, Mississippi, at the end of, I believe it's November 1st, but I have to look at it again
it was a
That's
Saturday.
Right, because it was a
and
Saturday.
I was looking at that
That's
going,
right.
Can we make it?
Can we make it? We should be able
to let
do
Dixon
that.
Know. I might know. Hopefully, yeah. Ole Miss is playing early or late or something. Don't have
we
to
might have
around.
To be there. But for those of you who don't know who that is, our advice is go figure it out because it's fun music and you'll have a good time. Now, something else that you don't necessarily already know about, Wells Fest 2024. Is coming up. For those of you who have known that my friend Loy has done forever and ever the plant sale there, it's not that Loy's not fooling with it, but he has had the sense to pass off the chairman's baton to someone else. And indeed, I'm happy to let you know that she has been the co-chair. This is you have to kind of get into these things and have somebody not only be willing to fool with it, but also be willing to learn how it all goes, because it's a big plan.
And Mary had him on yesterday, too. So as far as the Wells Fest, you need a little more info, go check the Mary Weed Metro on
You'll
the
You'll get
lot
lots
feed.
Of yeah. that. So if you're interested in dropping off plant donations, that's going to happen Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th. And then the whole business comes up the 28th.
You know, that thing's been around forever.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful
they do
event.
A great job.
It's a lot of fun. There's something there for everybody. And for those of you who want to know, why are you talking about this? It's just Jackson, quote unquote. That's true. So why don't you send me your stuff and we'll talk about you too.
Yeah, we are statewide. We're nationwide. We're worldwide.
We actually love to talk about everybody's events, even the ones we can't go to. So there
we would
you
like
have
to
it.
Go to all of them, honestly.
You know, oh, I mean, look. Yeah. Right. If we could write a grant, we would be in a van going every place.
Well, I'd prefer high-speed rail, but just so we could kick our feet
up. Do we have
up,
to do that first?
Yeah, they need to get
okay,
that laid
then.
Out.
Well, that's going
to
be a while.
Or somebody has, you know, a very easy way for you and I to just hop in the car. We can have maybe, you know, like a little picnic while we're on the
of
ride.
Course.
And then we can
of course.
Show up and just... You know, blow it
have
up.
Have a good
have
time.
Have a blast.
Absolutely. Have a good time. I'm sure that Sarah would be happy for us to do that at Wells Fest. And needless to say, the squirrel nut zippers are on our menu here. We're trying to figure that one out. But it might. It's a Saturday, so that's tough. The rest of y'all don't have as much trouble with Saturdays as some of us do. Anyway.
But you got to go.
You got to go.
Even
if, please
you
know, go.
If we can't make it.
If we can't make it, you're going to have a great time.
You know, let us live vicariously through
we
you.
We really have to. It's true. It's true. I have friends right now in Italy and France, and I've been living vicariously through their social
don't
media.
Blame you.
And I didn't have to get on a plane, so that made me very happy.
Now you just need somebody in Portugal.
See, every day I have people in Portugal.
No, do you? Portugal's beautiful.
Yeah. I have friends that have retired there. And
I love that. It's such a great retirement area. You know, every time I get bored, I go, all right, YouTube, Portugal, and just learn a little about Portugal. Because it's such a unique spot when you look at the history of Spain and everything and how Portugal made it.
It's a beautiful place, and my friends just love it. They've been there for several years. And
now, is it very floral?
Yes.
It looks at wood. I mean, being on the was that the leeward side?
These guys are editors of, you know, they're book editors of mine, and one of them. And they are... they're from the Midwest and from the East Coast, and to have bougainvilleas and rudbeckias and all these things blooming that are blooming with them that we are accustomed to here, it's so much fun to see people discover them.
Yeah.
And they knew the plants. They've been working with plants. You know, my editor's been working with plants his entire career. But I have to tell you that having them in your yard is a different thing. So, and it's very florific. It's everything that you could imagine in zones 8 and 9 here. And pretty stuff.
Gotcha.
Really
and it's
stuff.
Fairly mountainous, right? So you're going to have
They're in the flats. But yeah, you can go see.
So you'll
a
have
lot
the windward and leeward side, and so you're going to have different climates mixed into those areas, which is not a very large country.
No, it's not. It isn't. And at the same time, there was a joke somewhere floating around this week. Why would you go to Portugal when there's Spain right there? Well, you can always go to Spain from Portugal.
Yeah.
But
the
point is, Portugal is a much more charming place apparently to live.
Yep.
And
more affordable apparently. And it's much more, I think.
I didn't want to say it was cheaper, but
I think it's more affordable to those that are moving there. It's not as there's not as many barriers to entry. From what I've learned, for folks coming outside of Portugal in.
And it's such a beautiful language.
And if you can learn, apparently about 100% of them speak English.
That's true,
too. So they may not want to speak English, but, you know, if you show you speak Portuguese, they're probably going to go, hey, bud, what's up? You want a hamburger?
Yeah.
Oh, you speak English?
I love learning about the things that are not in large number and availability in stores and things in different places. It is a bit more seasonal, from my understanding. And, for example, chocolate for baking is not as popular, not as common. So when they're baking chocolate, my friend has lots of chocolate pictures because he doesn't even eat it. But because it's unusual, you celebrate it.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think that we do that. You know, muscadine season comes along. We're all talking about muscadine.
Yeah.
We may not have muscadine syrup in the house. We may not have muscadine wine in the pantry. But at the same time, when they're fresh, everybody's talking about that. Look at all those pictures. My goodness, supertalk.tv this morning is bringing us lots and lots of beautiful things. Such gorgeous things. Pretty, pretty, pretty. Yes, Paula has got her beautiful peace lily is blooming, and the one that she gave me is blooming. And it looks really, really good, really, really nice.
Yeah, they're amazing. Thank you.
That's
been a beauty. That's one that my dog hadn't eaten. He must have known it was a gift.
He must have known it was poisonous for him, so he stayed away from it.
That was
smart
a gift,
dog.
And it's not edible.
By the way, today is Responsible Dog Ownership Day, so be nice.
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing, be nice.
Right. Oh, he's fine. You know, old Hawk, he's got it figured out. And, yeah, he has not eaten that one, thank goodness. And thank you, Paula, for sharing, because mine's been a lot of fun to watch.
Lovely plant.
I've had several great blooms out of it.
Lovely, lovely plant. Really gorgeous stuff. I have a couple of other ideas for you. If you have a perennial bed, as I had this week, that could really use some reworking, It's almost time to do that, so why not go ahead and make either prepare some pots or prepare another bed somewhere, because you know you're going to want to get in there and dig those up and do some separating and dividing and probably relocating in some cases. And if that's ready, then you're ready to do it. So that was how the new bed got, or the old bed got renovated first. And I didn't realize how many plants I had in that area that were waiting to go in there. I still have a few others that I would like to plant in there. I don't know if I've got space or not. But if you do that and you begin to collect things, I'm going to give you one more tip. And this is not from a designer, because I am not a designer. If you have two of something, plant them together, particularly if it's perennials. You got one over here and one over there, it's never going to look as good. And if you have three, it's even better together, because you have a natural, cohesive, beautiful form that it can create. But I realize that not everybody's going to do that. You think, well, I've got this one, I'm going to do this. And you put that one in there, and then you get another one and put it in there. If you can possibly do the whole bed at the same time, you will be happier about it. Even if, like me, you have had to hold on to the pots all summer. I rooted some. I dug some up out of other plantings. I had just this whole melange of pots to take care of. But I'm glad that I waited and made the bed first and then planted them, because they're looking good. I only had to cut back one thing rather severely, and that is somebody pull up the drum roll, the red hot poker plants. Yes, they are alive. Now, for those of you who don't hang out here too much, and why don't you, there are red hot poker plants that used to be in my front garden. Then the vitex tree grew, got very tall, and began to shade them, and they just ended up, they're wimpy. So digging them up and moving them has been an issue of mine for more than a year. Finally, they're in their new spot. They did wilt terribly because the conditions are not great. They were already overcrowded, and they needed some more attention. So yesterday afternoon, I trimmed off half of their leaf material. Not half the leaves, just the length of them. I shortened that by half, and they've already perked back up and stood up today. And now they're saying, where's the fertilizer? So I'll be taking
all
care
right,
of that.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Because, the image I have up is from the great Mary Whedon.
Yes.
And she said that is, she was told this was pokeweed. It had come back in the place of where a shrub was. In the spring, it popped up. And I was recently told it was pokeweed, as in the famous song, Poke Salad Annie.
Oh.
And she was curious if that's actually, what that is?
Pokeweed and poke salad are two different things.
Okay, gotcha.
I call this one pokeberry for that reason, because this one makes berries. The other one makes leaves in a clump on the ground level. So,
makes total sense.
But if you are amused by this plant, you have to imagine that the squirrels and your other critters are going to be even more amused by it. I leave two of these. They're about 6 feet tall at this point in the year, and I like to watch the birds hang upside down and eat the berries. It's simply my amusement, and they're terribly prolific. They're going to come up. She has about 10 of them in this photo.
Yeah.
She will have 40 next year if she doesn't pull them out.
Jerk them out of there.
So pull them out. Don't put them in the compost. Let them go, somewhere else, into the trash or the burn pile or however you deal with that. But it's a beautiful plant to me. Not everybody likes it. Red stems, the shorter parts are red stemmed. And then the big green thing is it's not hollow, but it's a very canish kind of stem. It's a very green herbaceous stem. They can be 2 feet tall like these, or they can be 6 feet tall like mine. I don't advise leaving them everywhere they come up, because they will take over spaces and they're kind of bullyish. But it is a wonderful plant for wildlife and one that is opportunistic. So yes, it will come up where it has the opportunity to do that. For example, where the shrub used to be and isn't anymore. But that's really pretty. It looks good. This is International Coastline Cleanup Day. There's always that work going on. And quite frankly, if we were better stewards of, we wouldn't have to do this as much. But we don't take care of stuff, you were taught this. Everybody's taught this. They just don't always do it. Leave the area better in nature than it was when you came out. In other words, if somebody else left trash, you take that with you. If you are in a place where you can build a fire and you build a fire, you make sure that you put it out and you dress it. You know, you get it covered back up. You take care of these things and you make sure that they're better than they were. You don't go where you're not supposed to go. Also, when it says they're egg-laying birds here, get away, don't walk up in there. You're going to smush the nests. Don't do that. I know. It's coast. I can't help it. I'm very fond of this. It's important to me. Important to me. Speaking of coasts, I have to give this one to you because I don't know if y'all know about False Rivers. False River is a place that I used to live in Louisiana, that area. And False River is when the river changes course and moves from where it was. In this case, it's not. It left a big lake because it changed direction and went off to the east. Okay, Mississippi River. Well, publishing in Nature, which as we understand is one of the bigger journals that we appreciate getting information from, it's a breakthrough study to shed light on a process done by Indiana University to understand how these things happen and how it has shaped human history. So in other words, it's both the science and the cultural aspects of renegotiated rivers, in this case, river avulsion, which is what happens when the river changes course dramatically, and it can be very, very dangerous, of course, as you might imagine. But it offers a way to predict when and where they're going to do this. And in fact, this gives us the opportunity not only to look ahead, but also to look back so that we recognize how things changed and when they changed and what happened, what was good and what was not so good. In the case of False River, it is very definitely a part of the area there now is a big lake that's left from that, and it has become a thriving town and beautiful place, camp homes and that kind of stuff. It's lovely. Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes when the river shifts, it completely cuts off an area and leaves it without any access to the rest of the world. So there's a lot of bits and pieces to this river avulsion. It's my new word for my new phrase for the week, river avulsion. I like it. I like so many things. I like the idea that we're all having the chance to do some things that we haven't done before, which is to look at the change. Did you see the triple moon, you know, blood moon, full moon, harvest moon, all that stuff? Lunar eclipse was this week. There's so many things that happen that we don't necessarily catch up on all of them, and I appreciate y'all reminding me of them here when you come in and send me texts and get in touch with me. I will tell you just a moment of the project that I'm doing this week. It's another round with the gripe weed. And yes, the gripe weed, it did rain, as Joe said in Madison. It rained really well, and he didn't know whether to do this or that. And the other person about the Christmas cactus, too, the pots are wet. Should I go ahead and fertilize them or not? And, you know, all of these things that we consider. And at my place, it means that the areas that I had dried out and pulled the gripe weed from, it's all popped back up again. That tells you no matter how many times you pull it in one area or another, hopefully not a whole lot. In this case, it's a fairly couple of square feet, but it will come back up and up. And if you will be absolutely persistent and pull it up and don't drop those in the garden, because every one of those seeds has the capacity to bring you another gripe weed plant. That's something that I can see that there's an area around my compost where there must have been some of them. I have a feeling I sorted through the compost as I was putting it in and threw the gripe weed on the ground. Well, it's all now growing. And it was not live plants. It just, that's how the seed are able to discharge themselves. There we go. Look at you. Hey now, y'all. Stick around. We're going to be talking to Andy Young from Pearl River Glass Studio about Bondren Bottle Tree Tour, his garden, his art, and we're going to have us some fun. Stick around.
Camptown ladies never sang all in doodah. No. Camptown ladies never sang all in doodah. No. We'll be right back.
Farm's Amber Waves of Grain become your tasty creations in the kitchen. From a bushel of wheat comes the flour you need to enjoy the breads, cakes, cereals, and pastas we all love so much. And even if you aren't a world-renowned chef, wheat grown in Mississippi is used in many of the foods you buy on the grocery store shelves. Wheat, just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you. The Farm Families of Mississippi.
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you'll always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water, on demand, warm and consistent heat, and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to 769-208-8283.
Speaking of hard to interrupt, oh my goodness, who doesn't love Tina Turner? Now, look out now. We're going to talk about something else. For those of you who feel like I've been talking way too much about this, trust me, if I can get you to show up to the Bottle Tree Garden Tour, the day events, the night events, the fun events, the whole hoo-ha, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to tell you about it every week all the way up to, and we're almost there. Oh my goodness, welcome in Andy Young. Hey, Andy.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad that you joined us. We've been talking about you, but we're going to talk to you now. When I first came to Jackson, and I'm happy to say pretty much 30 years ago now, I had just written a book, and I was invited to an event that was a fundraiser of silent auction for the Sierra Club, and it was at Pearl River Glass Studios. I've been going there ever since then to see you, to see things, to look at stuff, to be amazed at what you're able to do. And now we get to see your house because you're on the tour. Thank you so much for all that. Tell me why you decided to join in and what we're going to get to see.
The house has been a garden for many years. This was originally Bob Hand, photographer's house, and he was the guy that was doing all the daylilies years ago.
Yeah.
And so the garden was already going in that direction, and I'm a gardener because of my mother. My mother was an avid gardener, and so this is sort of an homage.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To Carrie Nell Flynn, and the garden tour, I missed the first year because I was just sort of out of focus on that, but I was excited about the second year and got things organized and everything.
And now we're rolling.
I'm just going to be on the tour.
It's a famous garden that you have, and you have done some things to it that Bob Hand could never have thought of, first of all, because it's your art mind that has done this. But between waddling and repurposing and recycling, people are going to see stuff they haven't seen before when they come to visit you. We're showing on supertalk.tv some of the pictures of the garden, but also just some of your art that we just have to share with folks from your sketchbook because it's such beautiful, beautiful stuff. I appreciate you being willing for us to do that. Tell me about. I'm fascinated by waddling. I have a friend who has written a book about bentwood trellises and waddling and whatnot. So I've been interested in that for a long time. But how did you get started? What did you just for those who don't know, waddling is basically where you take what's laying around and turn it into something else. In this case, a fence, and it's all organic pieces of stuff. But what brought you to do this? Is it so beautiful?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. the idea that I have in my yard is that everything that's in the yard stays in the yard. So it's a constant recycling and repurposing of all the leaves that fall down and the composting. And so I'm sort of recycling as I go in mm-hmm. this particular small plot of land. And one year next door, there's a home that has tall bamboo, which is creeped out into my flower beds, and so
as it will do.
I let the bamboo grow on up, and then I cut it back, and I used 4-foot pieces of bamboo, and I drove those into the ground to create vertical posts. And then I was going through my garden, pruning seedlings and long branches of just about everything, and then weaving it into the bamboo posts that were there. And this will be its third year, I think, it's the third year, and it's looking really good. The bamboo's holding up, even though it's in the ground, and so the idea is that anything that's here gets to be repurposed.
And in a beautiful, beautiful way. We don't have a photograph, but because you and I share a love for the insides of washing machines, I'm going to tell people that they will also see drums that are planted. And I just, this is really why we garden, isn't it? Because we, you know, somebody else has a different opinion of how they do it or a way to approach it, but you've developed your own in the same way that I've developed my own. And so much of Fondren is that way. That's one of the reasons I think that the Bottle Tree Tour is so enchanting. Everybody's garden is different. There's no cookie cutters in our neighborhood.
Well, that's true. So what happened was I was going through two different dryers for my washing and drying here in my home, and so I kept the dryers because I saw that there was this big metal drum, and I had somebody help me take the machines apart, and I saved the drums, and now I've replanted them on either side of my front door with big elephant ears, and then
love it.
So it really won't be that elegant this year, but next year it'll look better because I just planted them.
Well, and I think part of it is just the thinking of it. You know, when I look at this, is not just to raise your ego, but it I hope it will. But anybody who is able to actually see a design in their head, what I talk about is that I have a plant collection, and there are a couple of things that I do because I've learned from people who design things. For example, if you have a neat edge, anything else is going to look better, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you have a curve, it slows people down. If you have a straight line, it hurries them up. This is really about the extent of what I actually am able to put into practice, because mine is a plant collection. And so as a result, having the opportunity to see someone who's bold enough to do what you do gives me great inspiration. And I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And the main thing about my garden is I approach it as if it was a painting, because I'm an artist, a visual artist at Pearl River Glass Studio for almost 50 years now. And so everything that I see, everything needs to be seen from the idea that it's an artwork. And so my garden is the same way,
mm-hmm,
where I'm
mm-hmm.
designing with textures and linear forms and bold shapes and sunflowers and so,
well, you do it so well too. You have a beautiful collection of cannas that people are going to see. I'm very fond
yeah.
of cannas. I grow them because my mother said that they were declassé and they didn't put them in the front yard. They put them out to cover up the alley behind the house, that kind of stuff. And so,
yeah.
of course, I grow them in the front yard because I think they're lovely. But that difference in texture and those differences of appreciating things, even when they're out of bloom, is part of Fondren's charm, I think, because we do have a lot of trees. We've got a fair amount of shade for an urban neighborhood. When folks come on October 5th and 6th, they'll be able to join us for this Bottle Tree Garden Tour. Please, I hope everybody will come early at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can actually come before that if you're picking up your tickets, but you can come for 8 o'clock in the morning for this show, which will be live at Fondren Yard, and it will be the first time that I have broadcast from my neighborhood, and I'm very happy about that. I'm excited. Sponsored by Lakeland Yard and Garden and Trustmark Bank. The Fondren Renaissance Foundation and, of course, Rebecca Garrison are the people who have really put all of this together, and I'm sure your email box is like mine, Andy. Every day there's some something else that they want to tell you that's going on. And that's really very, exactly. I mean, it's a big, it's fun, it's simmering. And I think we're going to have a really fun tour.
So I'm going to be only on Saturday, not Sunday, because I'm going on vacation on Sunday. But
congratulations, leave and go. I like that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a crescendo. So one of the things that's going to happen is that I've been doing a new watercolor series called my inked watercolor series, and I'll have those on view in my gallery in my home.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think that's terrific. I know that not everybody can get to the glass studio, but they should be familiar with your work if they are not already, because it's, frankly, I mean...
He does amazing stuff.
Well, you started when you were like a minute old. That's why you've been doing this for 50 years. You know?
Well, I wasn't really a minute old, but when people got into it.
You got into it very early, and you have stayed, and that is, to me, that is really what it takes. And your art has... Tell people a little bit about what you're up to at your studio. Now, I mean, you know, we're not going to go show you the studio, but I want y'all to be aware of what Andy's up to.
Yeah, Pearl River Glass Studio was started in 1975, and so this next year will be our 50th anniversary.
Wonderful.
And as part of the 50th anniversary, last year in the fall, we established the Pearl River Glass Conservatory, which is a nonprofit educational foundation that's teaching classes in fused glass and stained glass and all kinds of other art creativity type events. We're having a class today, as a matter of fact. There's about a dozen people at the studio working in a fused glass class right now.
Wonderful.
And so, you know, that's part of my legacy that I want to have as part of my career is to continue the Pearl River Glass ethos through teaching. And so we established the conservatory.
That's wonderful. And that's exactly what it takes. My own personal story is I wanted to learn to cut glass, and I did, and I made one piece, and then I began having children. So you can come back. I was going to say, there's another point in my life, maybe. But, you know, it is one of those things that once you have that experience of having somebody teach you just the beginnings of the way that the shapes fit together and the way that things move together in terms of design, it's so internal. And then all of a sudden you can see it out on a table, and it's so beautiful, such a wonderful art form, and one that,
frankly, is not
well practiced by very many people. So you're brilliant.
Well, one of the things about coming to the garden tour on that Saturday in October is that people will have a unique experience because they'll be able to go and see the creativity of all the gardeners and put into action. And so they'll have the experience of being in their gardens real time, and it's going to be a fascinating time for everybody.
So many conversations and so many ideas. I'm sitting on a plant that I rooted for a woman that I know is going to come back this year. Because it's sitting there waiting for her. Hey, Dolores, when she comes back, she'll know, and it'll be there. But there are some folks that are just in, so that you will know, there will be some plant sales. There will also be some events with music and one thing and another here and there. I don't know all the details. Every day, like I say, there's another piece of information coming to me. But if you want to get more information about all of it, go to FondrenGardenTour.com. You can read the magazine. You can look at the all of the events that will be happening, and you'll also be able to understand how you buy your tickets. And then come at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, visit with us at when we're setting up and getting ready to do this show. And then, of course, my garden will be open in the afternoon and then again on Sunday morning. We had to take it in chunks. There's too many gardens and not enough, you know, too many people and too many gardens, so that you do have to follow the schedule. Not everything is open the whole time, which is good, because that was a lot of hubbub in the neighborhood.
I wanted to mention one thing.
Sure.
That people will be able to see at my garden, which I think is unique. And over the last few years, I've been collecting shrubs of different colors. Mm. And so I have a hedgerow in my backyard that's intentionally variations of plant colors and hues, dotted with Rose of Sharon blooms. Mm-hmm. And it's really effective. And it's been there now for about 5 years, so it's starting to look like what I originally envisioned was sort of a painting with plant colors.
Mm-hmm. So I love that.
Unique.
I love that. I come from the world where, you know, the hedgerow is all one plant, or the hedgerow, the next evolution was one azalea, one spirea, one nandina. You know
what
I mean? They did that.
No, that's my point.
And then to have colors go down the row is so much more intriguing. And because we garden in smaller spaces now, it also gives you the opportunity to put in more color without having to buy 25 plants.
Althea is the one. The Althea is the one that I planted in there, and you were talking about propagating earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I've really become a propagator, and I've got a Akuba in my yard, which is one of my favorite gold spot Akuba. I'm propagating that, and I'm learning how to recycle all my plants, things that are easy to root, and then plant on for other applications and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of propagating going on that people can see. There'll be the painting shrubbery, the shrubbery painting, and all the different antennas.
That's so wonderful. There's so much to see. And Andy, having you join in with this big an effort in yours and being willing to share your watercolors and whatnot really makes a huge difference. I will see you on the tour. Thank you very much for being with me today. Appreciate you. Thanks so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you very, very much. Hey, y'all, now we got to step out of here and come back after another quick break. You knew he was going to put in some Grateful Dead this morning, and there it is. We'll be right back.
King's daughter, did you know? Clothed in tatters, always will be Tom. Where did you go? Mountains of the moon, electric mountains of the moon, all along the mountains of the moon.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every...
I'm getting another kitten. Put up cat pictures. Come on. Oh, yes. So, yeah, just today and I don't know, for some of the foreseeable future, what can I tell you? The music man here with us, I appreciate you, Lance. You're moving us out of the early 20th century and moving into the later 20th century. We might even get into the 21st before it's all said and done.
Do a little crazy jazz on you today.
Just toss it out there.
I was considering, I didn't really have my music lined up yet for the next show because we do a music segment at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking I'm going to throw a little Squirrel Nut Zippers in
there. Why not? I mean, come on. It's that kind of day.
Yes,
wake everybody up a little bit.
That's one of Paula's beautiful little babies.
In the music department, today is, and I say this with my heart on my sleeve, today is National Sew a Jelly Roll Day. It's a quilter thing. Don't go down the wrong road, folks. When you have all those pre-cut quilt pieces, and you have all the other scraps and things, and you got to put them somewhere. Quilters are very, if nothing else, quilters are the most practical people in the whole world. Okay, they take the time that the rest of us would spend, I don't know, these days, looking at our phones or reading a magazine or something, and instead they're making things. And in the case of all makers, then they have more stuff because every maker is like that. So they roll them into these colorful jelly rolls. They do kind of, you know, they roll like a cinnamon roll would be rolled or like a jelly roll would be rolled. I'm not able to cook jelly rolls. I've tried to make that kind of cake, and it was a disaster. So for those of you who are able to do that, you have all my congratulations. I can barely make the tortilla roll that you put the stuff in and roll up and then cut pinwheels out of. I'm really not good at that for some reason or another. But this, in this particular case, it tells you that there is a place for all that fabric and you can do things with it. And today is the day that quilters theoretically gather up all of their scraps and go ahead and make sewing a jelly roll day. All right. Now, for those of you who know that there is an artist named Jelly Roll, he is incredibly, his story is even more amazing, I think, than his music. His music, great, that's fine, but his story is the thing that really separates him from a lot of other people. And he's going to be the first musical guest on Saturday Night Live. 28th, I think, is when they start. Bigger for me, Jean Smart's going to be the host. She's not the oldest one, though. Getting close, though. She's for those of you who've never heard of Jean Smart, look up Designing Women, and then you'll know all you need to know. She's much more than that, but that'll get you started. Anyway, what a day. What a week. This has been, you asked me earlier, what did you do this week? I can't even tell you. I just did too many things. Got the garden going for the tour, got parts of the wedding stuff happening. The wedding flowers are coming in and doing a good job for us. We have all sorts of crazy things coming up still that we didn't realize were going to come up. And in my case, I have Chinese cabbage and carrots both up. It's like, oh no, what do I do now? I didn't think that was going to work, and it did. So I hope that you're having some surprises in your garden and having the opportunity to give yourself the chance that everybody really does need to have to go and look at stuff and see what's going on out there. I did notice that the squirrels seem to have really, really, really big amounts of their acorns. They're not from my trees, though. They're not dropping as many as they usually do, but they're finding them somewhere, and they're making those squirrel bastions, as I call them, where they get in the flower bed, and it's right under the mulch. You don't notice it's all there until, oops, you get in there, and then there's 2,000. I mean, it's just wild. So that's part of what is going on. Oh, this is a good one. Yes, this was, I didn't try, he says, but the cactus mix and one part of Fox Farms ocean floor soil. I've not used Fox Farms. I know it's a brand of good reputation, but I haven't run into them myself. But that's interesting. Ken's, he says he's going to have to water a little bit less. I would imagine it would stay wetter, yeah. If you are looking at a picture on supertalk.tv and you are seeing what looks like glass bricks on a flower bed, that's glass bricks on a flower bed. Those are mine. You'll see all of that. It's new. You'll see it at when we get ourselves to the Bottle Tree Garden Tour. Okay. This is great. Y'all are so fun. So many choices. Scott, that's really pretty. The spider lilies. The spider lilies are not native, but they are well acclimated and have come in. Scott in Raleigh wanted to know about that. They were planted, and they multiply readily and rapidly. And they are one of the plants that one of the bulbs, I should say, that can sink and still come up to bloom. We talk about your daffodils. Maybe you're not blooming anymore. Maybe they sank and they couldn't get their flower buds out. But in this case, it even works better. I don't know what I'm looking at except
I got you.
The kitty cat and the...
Well, that's the cat. It looks like some little...
Gripeweed?
Gripeweed, yeah.
That's what it looked like, but I can't see.
Well, Miss Mabel called and she wanted to listen. I know we're about to be done. And
yeah.
Quickly, where to buy fall plants, because she is ready to go get them.
Oh, okay. The first place to start, of course, are the parsleys, the cabbages, the broccolis, and that. They're going to be on all the garden centers on their racks. And yes, the prices are up, but the plants are there, and I'm ready for that. From seed right now, you can still plant carrots and beets and certainly radishes if you haven't already got some of those in. Those only take 30 days. But the broccoli and cauliflower, cabbages, all those things, those plants are out there right now. If they had any of the plants of the Chinese cabbage, I would have bought them, but nobody's got that. So I'm growing those from seed. Probably going to be ready around Christmas from the way it looks like. That'll take a little bit of time. Onions are available now. So many things that we can plant for the fall and for the winter. And particularly if you'll set up any kind of ability to cover them up on a bad night, you'll have growth all the way through, at least I'm going to say all the way through the end of the year. I know that we will get some cold weather, but I don't believe we're going to be in for a deeply cold run, below. I'm not saying this because I know anything, but just because I feel like this year will be a little bit warmer, and then we'll have very, very cold weather after the first of the year. How's that for a prediction? Somebody's writing that down. They're going to come back and get me. They're going to come back and tell me.
So we've got some great listeners, because I know I'm not an expert on doing weather. I've mm-hmm. learned a lot, mm-hmm. but I haven't killed anybody's crop yet in the Delta. So
thank goodness.
Yeah. Ooh, that's like, I literally go, I'd be checking that on a regular basis to make sure.
Well, you know, you are the weatherman.
Of
so.
The Delta. Mm-hmm. They let me have fun with that. That's been fun. I've been throwing some $5 words in there and some little jingles.
That's a good thing.
And some rhyme.
That's a very good thing.
I've been trying to enjoy it.
There's a lot to be said for how we tell people things. I have been asked why I talk like I talk. I said, well, I don't know exactly why, but I know some of the things I don't do. I won't tell you what's wrong unless I can tell you what's right when it comes to your plants. I try to be that way in other parts of my life. It didn't always work out quite as well. But you're very kind to be here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate Andy Young being here. Lance, thank you for another great show. We will be back again next week for the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Have you lost Mississippi Medicaid? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.